News.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the wealth advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Hey, we welcome you back to the program. Let's get it all started. How about that? Let's get a week started. Let's get things going. Bucket Strategy Investing Program. I'm Johnny Dean. Coming up this hour, I've got Professor Rick Plum here with me once again, as we always do from Lucia Capital Group. He's here standing by with me, ready to talk about the delicate subject of, I said this on Friday, estate planning. Estate planning. This is just for a segment or two, but it's some very important stuff and why you do need one. Now, you may have heard that the estate tax limits are well above any amount that you'll ever have, right? I mean, you know, it's 11 million, what is it now?
10.9.
We call it 11.
For a couple.
Oh, yeah, for a couple, yes. For a single individual, it's 5
million
450. Thank you. But estate planning, of course, is more than just about taxes. Do you want to be able to control what happens to your assets after you're gone? Most of us do. Are you concerned about the effective transfer of your assets to the next set of individuals, where you want them to go? You probably do. And that's why estate planning is such a big part of the overall retirement planning process. And that's why we're going to talk about it for a segment or two with Professor Plum. That's coming up in just a couple of moments. So how do you get in touch with the plan, with the planners here with the Brain Trust? You do so by giving us a call, 877-PLANNER. You can also email us, wealthed.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. At the Find Your Answer link, that's your resource for all of the topics that we talk about here on this program. Our Brain Trust Advisor in Chief, the one we call Professor Rick Plum, here with me, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. We do thank them very much for this, because otherwise, you know, we're just sitting here talking. You can reach them at this phone number, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number at Lucia Capital Group. You are well aware that everyone has money issues. We've pointed this out. Have you noticed how complicated all this planning is? Don't try this on your own. All right, there are just too many ways to mess it up. You need to call the Brain Trust, give them your situation, and make sure you're on the right path to retirement. Call the advisors off air again, 800-644-1150. That's the number at Lucia Capital Group. Or if you want to speak to the Brain Trust right away, you call us here in studio. Our number, 877-PLANNER. We got lines open for you right now. Whatever your money question is, whatever your topic, your concern, your comments, etc., 877-PLANNER. I talked about messing it up, Professor Plum, and it's easy, really, really easy to mess up an estate, because, you know, people tend to look, especially younger people, and they say, you know, I got plenty of time. I don't really have to do anything right now.
I have plenty of time, and I don't have an estate.
I don't have an estate. That's one of the biggest things that we hear.
Well, the reality is, unfortunately for some people, there is never enough time. And even if you don't have a physical estate today, you may have life insurance that creates an estate. And if you don't get your beneficiaries set the right way, that could cause a problem for ultimate heirs down the line. And so we want to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And you mentioned earlier that the estate limits are at a point where most people don't have to worry about it, $5.45 million per person right now. But that's at the federal level. And depending upon what state that you where you reside, you may have a state death tax or a state transfer tax, inheritance tax, at a much lower level, which will, you know, clip a lot of people at a much sooner level, and they don't have to worry so much about the federal limits, but they do need to or want to worry about the state limits. They may be as low as $1 million. Now, that $1 million includes everything that you own and control, which includes the life insurance. So you may have a house that has $100,000 of equity in it, but you have over $1 million of life insurance to provide for your family And if it doesn't go to your citizen spouse and it goes to the kids right away, that's an estate issue in some states because you're at over $1 million. So you need to know what's going on, not just from the federal standpoint, but also what's happening at your state level. Now, states are part of the problem or the solution, depending on how you want to look at it, when it comes to estate planning, because a lot of the estate planning issue is one thing, well, we've talked about the estate taxes, but it's also the transfer costs, the publicity, the idea, how do I get my assets in my name to successive generation or to heirs if I'm not here to sign the paper that says, yes, transfer it across? If you don't have things in place to make that happen, the state is going to do that for you, and the state charges you. But not all state does it the same way. Some states charge a lot more for their probate process than others. Some states are very very easy on probate. And if you've got, you know, just a very straightforward, you have one or two kids, and or, you know, it's not a convoluted estate, it's not a big problem. Other states, depending upon the assets, even though it may only be, you know, you only have one child and you're not married at the moment, and it's still going to have to go through probate, and they charge you a flat percentage depending upon the type of asset that's being transferred. And it can get expensive.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's public knowledge of what you have in your estate.
Yeah, that's really kind of a law, I guess.
Well, they have to say, hey, so-and-so died, their estate is
valued. If anybody wants to.
If you want to make a claim against it, now is the time. Now, that is actually a reason to have a probate. And some business owners don't put their businesses in their trust or don't put their business in a situation where they can avoid probate because they want to limit the probate process. They want to give creditors X amount of time and be done with it, and so that the assets can pass on without any lingering, problems from people, creditors.
So I suppose the first tool, maybe you call it of an effective estate plan, might be a will, a basic will.
A will is basically a series of guidelines for the courts, for the state that you live in, to be able to at least hear what you think should happen with your assets. It's for the probate court. It does not avoid probate. It's the directions for the probate. I want this to go here. I want that to go there. And it's up to the probate court to be able to agree to that particular set of instructions and to then make those set of instructions a reality by helping the individuals transfer the titling of whatever asset is to the appropriate individuals. But it is not going to avoid probate. A will goes through probate. So what is part of the probate estate? Basically, anything that does not pass by beneficiary or by title becomes part of the probate estate. What do I mean by title? If I own a piece of property with my brother as joint tenancy with rights of survivorship, whoever dies, my brother dies first, it automatically comes to me. It doesn't matter what his will says. The titling of the property says it comes to me, the titling of the account. I die first, it goes to him, regardless of what my will or trust or anything else says. The title controls what's happening. And it doesn't matter what anything else happens. It's already in place. It's going to happen. A beneficiary assignment, assuming it's a lawful beneficiary assignment, is going to that beneficiary. That's not part of probate. My will could say I want 100% of my assets to go to, you know, my good friend Dave over there, but I have the asset as a beneficiary to John Dean or in joint titling with John Dean with rights of survivorship. Boom, it's going to the title holder, the beneficiary, regardless of what my will says.
And it
can't even be contested.
Yeah, and the same thing as you said, beneficiary designations, IRAs, whatever happens to have a beneficiary designation, that's where it's going to go.
But if you don't have those issues, if I own that piece of property with my brother as tenants in common, we both still own 50% of it. It just doesn't have the rights of survivorship titling on it. Now I own my half of the property and I can do whatever I want with my half of the property and I can give it to anybody I want through my will. I can say, I want it to go to that friend Dave or to so-and-so or whoever it is. And my brother owns 50% of the property. He doesn't automatically get my share of it. Rights of survivorship automatically transfers to the joint tenant. Tenants in common, I get to dispose of it as I see fit. And so it has a lot to do with how you go about titling your assets to be able to transfer it effectively where you want it to go.
See, people used to think that just having a will, just saying, here, I wrote this out, here's where I want it to go, that's all you need. And that's really not the case.
Right, but you also hear about people contesting a will. You know, I actually just saw this the other day. a lady in her late 70s, almost 81 years, almost 80 years old, just recently changed her will, and basically all of it is now going to one individual, not a relative, a friend, and the relatives. I don't think they actually know about it. It's not, you know, but I'm sure that they're going to say, "Wait a minute. Why did she change her will?" And they have the potential that they can cause problems for this new beneficiary, or will, you know, through the will, because they could say this individual put undue duress on mom, on uncle, you know, so and so, or aunt so
and
so.
And that's where probate is coming.
And now it's the probate's court, the probate court's, this, you know, issue where they have to decide, was this person under duress when they made the change? Was this person, are they actually entitled to the money, or should it go the way it was before, or by the laws of intestacy? That's the laws of intestacy are the state's idea of who's supposed to get the money.
And that's where you get probate courts and judges and all that stuff, and then they have to make that decision. And by the way, that whole process can be repeated many times through many different people. And guess what else? It's not cheap.
And it takes time. I mean, some very famous, you know, probate process. John Wayne's estate was decades in the probate. Now, he had a few dollars here and there, so I understand.
I finally gave up my claim to his, yeah.
I mean, there was a guy that was going after Howard Hughes' estate for years, saying he was a legitimate heir,
mm-hmm.
for many decades. I mean,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Well, 40, there were and then, 40 years.
There were fake wills that were supposedly popping up. Anyway, so there's a way to avoid this, and one of the tools that you can use to avoid this whole probate process has to do with a living trust. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. If you've got questions on this or anything else, hey, lines are open. Feel free to jump in at any time. 877-PLAN or whatever your issue is. We will answer your questions here on the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We are coming right back.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy.
Inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fears of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150 or click contact us at luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Who's there?
Fallen off.
Fallen off who?
Fallen off pain patch.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidacare pain relief patches. Our narcotic free maximum strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock knock joke anymore. Cause pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Bucket Strategy Investing, the program, talking all about your dough, your money, planning. We're talking a little bit about estate planning right now. We'll do so for just a little bit longer. Trying to help you out, because once again, Professor Plum, you don't have to have $10 million, $5 million, $2 million, $3 million to have an estate plan, to need an estate plan. I mean, really, you need to know, we talked about probate before the break.
Yep.
If you die, what they say, intestate, that means that the state is going to figure out, they're going to decide everything for you. And even if you die with a will and you have no beneficiary designations on certain things, the state is still going to, the probate court could wind up deciding where your stuff goes.
Well, they're going to approve of your choices, your selections.
Yes.
And try to find out if there's anybody more worthy of your money.
And they'll do it for a price, by the way.
Well, everything is a fee. I mean,
right, exactly. And it's expensive. So how do you avoid probate? There are a couple of ways to do that.
We talked about one, and that is putting some kind of a beneficiary designation or some kind of titling on the account or the contract so that it passes without a probate. But not all assets can have an account titling that says transfer on death or payable on death. Those are the two most common ones for non-IRA account type of ownerships that pass without probate. But what about assets that don't have the ability to have a beneficiary assignment on it or something of a transfer on death, payable on death, POD, TOD type transfer? Real estate. For most states, real estate doesn't have the ability. Now, there are a couple states, and a few more are following suit along the way, that have beneficiary assignments on real estate. And so you could potentially, in those states, or if you don't own any real estate, have titling that moves all your assets without probate. Does that solve all the problems? Well, yes and no for some people. What about if you have a beneficiary who you really want to be able to get the money, but they've just shown a complete inability to manage money, or they have issues, whether it be gambling, drugs, or some other issue, where if they were to receive a portion of money, whether it be large or just a nominal amount, they'd blow it. And you know it, they know it, everybody knows it. I mean, it's just a fact of life for some people. So what do you do about that? Do you just say, well, I'm gone, who cares? Or do you try to put something in place to maybe manage the money? What John was speaking of before the break was something called a living trust, a revocable inter vivos living trust. They're all the same name, basically. And it is a legal document that takes ownership of certain assets. Now, it should not own an IRA because it can't. And if you were to move your IRA to a living trust, that's a taxable event. Don't want that usually. But it could be the beneficiary of assets. It can hold assets, the titling of it, real estate, personal accounts. And the advantage and the purpose of a living trust is twofold. One is to avoid probate. The living trust itself is now the owner of the asset. The living trust does not die. It is a legal instrument that will continue on until certain events, as identified in the legal document, happen. And then it has actions to take when those certain events happen.
Yeah, explain what you mean by that. Just
death
give an
is
example.
The most common.
Yeah.
The living trust owns the asset, and upon death, it is to do the following things. But the owner of the asset didn't die. The trust has instructions of what to do if certain if this individual passes away, but the ownership is still there. So they don't have to go to probate with it because it didn't die. There are still some accounting issues. It doesn't completely eliminate all the expenses at somebody's passing, but it does potentially reduce the probate side of it. It says that upon passing, the assets should be transferred to John Dean, to whoever the named beneficiary in the living trust is. And so the trustee, in the trust, there's a successor trustee. You don't have to go to the state. They just go down and they say, I'm now the successor trustee. Here's the death certificate of the person. Here's the trust that gives me control. Now I have the legal authority to sign for these particular issues. And so they can transfer the assets. So avoiding probate is one of the original and primary reasons for having a living trust.
Yeah, and I guess the reason it does is because you have really effectively transferred ownership to the trust while you're alive.
So they're given instructions to the trust
exactly
on what to do.
So there is no question as to what's supposed to happen with that. All right, we're going to talk more about that. We've got irrevocable trusts, we've got living wills, healthcare proxies, all that stuff. And we're going to try to get into that a little bit later. I want to get to some of these phone calls, though, first. 877-PLANNER, we've got some people on hold. We're going to take care of everybody if you're on hold. So let's move along next to Brian in Bloomington, Minnesota. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about Social Security.
Sure.
My wife's almost 66. I'm 67 and a half. She's a lower income person of us, too. She went on Social Security at 62. I did a restricted application a year and a half ago when I was 66. I know that she would never get half of my Social Security because she went on 4 years earlier.
Right.
How do you calculate that? How much would she get, 40% or 35% or?
Well, basically, we look at the difference in her benefit from the money she took and the age 66 benefit. How much is she receiving? And well, actually, tell me how much you're receiving too.
Well, I'm just receiving part of her restricted application.
Right, but
what she would have half what she would have got at age 66, even if she went on 62.
Right. So, how much is she receiving right now?
$1,100.
And so you're receiving how much?
Well, I'm receiving $715, which would have been half if she waited to 66 to get it.
Right. And so what I'm looking at, that difference, the difference between her full benefit of $1,430, twice what you're receiving, and the amount she's receiving, $1,100, that $330, is what her spousal benefit will be reduced by as well. So it's unlikely that she's going to get a spousal benefit higher than what she's already receiving, because the highest the spousal benefit can be right now is just shy of $1,300 a month. Her $1,100 is more than $1,300 minus the $330 that she took on as a reduction to hers.
Okay. Now, since mine is going up 8% a year after I was 66,
yes.
Say I'm 70, do they figure it out the same way, or is it?
No, the spousal benefit. The spousal benefit is always based on the worker's full retirement age benefit. So the fact that your benefit's going to go up by 32% does not change her spousal benefit in any way, shape, or form. Her maximum...
Okay, that was the answer I was waiting for, because that's what I was confused about.
Right. So the fact that yours goes way up and you may be getting $3,300, $3,400 a month, she's not going to start with 50% of that number and then reduce it because she took hers early. It's the 50% of your number reduced by her reduction for taking it early. 50%
based
of your full retirement age.
What I would have got at 66, right?
Right.
Yep.
Your full retirement age benefit.
That was my question. I thought that was right, but I didn't know, and I never, ever heard you answer that question when I was listening before. So thank you for your answer.
Okay, Brian.
Brian, thank you for the call. I'm glad he asked that question. I had a question on that similar to that over the weekend, and I'm glad I answered that correctly.
You were talking Social Security over the weekend?
I was talking
we
about
need
it
to
with
get
my
you
wife.
Out more.
Well, I was talking about it with my wife. We had a whole discussion as we were going through files and stuff, and we found 403B statements, as I said, and so we wound up going on the Social Security website. Anyway, yes, it's a good question. We can talk more about that. We have other things to say, and if you've got questions on that, restricted application, Social Security, estate planning, we got a whole lot more to say about that. You give us a call, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We got room on the phones for you right now. Give us a call. We'll answer your questions here on the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Bucket Strategy Investing continues.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, an affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, my daughter needs back-to-school supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need at low prices every day.
Oh, fantastic. She needs more markers.
Your daughter's a budding artist?
No, a huge loser.
Well, I'm sure
she loses markers, crayons, glue.
Oh, I get it.
Right. She's just a loser, not a loser-loser.
Back-to-school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back-to-school at low prices every day. Like 4-ounce Staples school glue for just 50 cents. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in-store, 10 online.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one, and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury and safety Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event, now through August 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and 0.99% APR financing on select models available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties. APR offer available only to qualified customers. Call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for details about costs and terms.
Napa Know How!
In third grade, there's one way to protect yourself. Karate. But now that you're mostly grown up, pick up a dash cam at Napa for just $39.99. With 8 gigs of storage, a wide-angle lens, and loop recording, it's everything you need to protect yourself on the road. The Napa dash cam for $39.99. It's no flying mantis neck kick, but just as effective. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 8/31/16.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Bucket Strategy Investing, taking you to the top of the hour, top of the slide, whatever. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Whatever's on your mind from a money standpoint, we're here to answer those questions for you. The Brain Trust from Lucia Capital Group, talking to you about whatever, once again, is on your mind. 877-PLANNER. We were talking a little bit about estate planning and all that stuff. Let's take a couple of questions on that. Let's move along next to Denise in Minneapolis. Hello, Denise.
Hello.
Hi there. How can we help you today?
Well, my question is, we have a revocable trust, wondering whether we should put our home into the trust as well. It's completely paid for.
Well, unless there's something specific to Minneapolis, and I don't know the state rules that well, I don't see why you wouldn't. You don't lose anything with it. In fact, it helps you pass it. The reason you created the living trust was to help pass your assets after you're gone, right?
Absolutely.
And when you did the living trust, you received another will. The will is what they know as a pour-over will, that says, whatever I haven't put into my trust, wherever I haven't specifically given away elsewhere, put it into my trust. But that pour-over will puts it into your trust, but it has to go through probate to get it in the trust. So if it's just going to end up in the trust anyway, put it in the trust now so you can avoid the probate.
Okay. Answer. Thank you so much.
Okay, Denise. Thank you for the call. Yeah, now a house is a different asset. We might as well get into this, too, a little bit. First of all, it's normally the biggest asset most people own. It's
right.
The biggest valued asset that most people own.
And many states, I mean, there's a lot of people that have very expensive homes that have a very high mortgage against the home, so their equity position isn't all that great. But there is some equity, potentially. And depending on the state, most states will probate that asset not based on the equity. They'll probate it based on the gross value. So maybe you have a $1 million house in Southern California and you've got a $999,000 mortgage against it. Well, guess what? The probate on that house is usually a statutory fee, a couple percent, maybe 4 or 5%.
Of the value of it?
So like $40,000-$50,000. It's not even worth that. I mean, equity-wise.
So
you have to look at what is it that we're trying to accomplish and go from there. And coordinate the assets, your desires, your wishes, and the instruments that are available to help meet those desires. Now, we talked earlier about avoiding probate. That's one of the main reasons for having a living trust. That was one of Denise's reasons for having a living trust. She wanted to avoid probate, so we were going to put the assets in there. But the other reason to have a living trust is management of those assets. Management comes on two sides of your passing, both after you're gone, managing the assets for the heirs, if you don't think they can manage it, you know, on their own, but also potentially managing it for you, especially in your later years, if you're unable to manage the assets on your own. So instead of appointing a conservatorship over you, you've got a living trust that appoints a new successor trustee that can then handle that, along with the financial power of attorney to help manage the IRAs and things. They're all about management, and so estate planning, both before and after you pass away, is about managing the assets for you and or your heirs. If you have no need for management on your heirs, then you don't need the trust for that particular reason, but you may still want it for probate.
Now,
but there are ways to do, transfers to people who don't need management without the trust.
Okay, so
transfer on death, payable on death, things like that.
On a house, though, I mean, you have IRAs and you have retirement plans that normally have beneficiary designations.
Right.
But on a house, I mean,
there are no beneficiaries except for a couple of states.
Yeah, there are a couple of states who that recently, I guess, in some cases, allow you to put a beneficiary designation on the home.
I only know of two. There's probably more, but I only know of two. And they're both in the Southwest. So if you're not in the Southwest, check with your state. But
California and
Arizona.
Maybe Arizona.
Those are the only two that I'm pretty sure about Arizona. I'm sure about California. And that's only recently. That's January 1st of this year. So it's one of those things. But do you want to just turn it over to somebody else? I mean, if the only goal is avoiding probate, fine. If there's an issue of management and control, then the living trust then comes back into play.
Okay, so they're really in Denise's case, you didn't see any reason for her not to put the trust the house in the trust.
I don't know of any state, exemptions or anything that may change if you put it into a living trust. And so you just check with your state to make sure that you don't give up some kind of an exemption on a property tax basis or something of that nature that costs more money. But I don't know of any other reasons. She created the living trust to avoid probate, leaving the largest potential asset that many people own outside to go through probate to get into the living trust. If it was going to just end up in the living trust anyway, through the pour over will, put it in the trust now.
You don't want your house, you really don't want your home to go through probate, in other words.
There was a time after I bought my house in 2005 when the values went down
okay.
to the toilet.
All right, well then.
We actually had negative equity. I didn't have it in the trust because the bank can have it. If my wife and I had met an untimely
demise. Nobody wants an underwater house.
And I didn't want my kids to have it. I didn't want them to be deal with it. I didn't want the trust to deal with it. Here, just leave that out. Just that's outside. We don't want that part of the trust estate.
Right, but if you do want it, I think what people are going to be concerned about is when they heard you say something like, well, wait a minute, I have a, let's call it a $500,000 home, and I have a $450,000 mortgage on it. And if this is going to go through probate, what's it going to cost for this house to go through probate?
And it depends on the state. California, I think, is like 4%, kind of a statutory rate. Other states, what I have heard is states like Washington State and some others, probate is not that big of a deal. So a lot of people don't have trusts in certain states. So you have to look at not only the federal side of life, but the state that you live in and whether or not it's a reasonable aspect or asset to deal with or a reasonable instrument to deal with in your particular state. Now, if you have properties in multiple states, if you're either so blessed or cursed to have multiple states, multiple properties, that's when you're probably going to want to have a trust, just because that way it makes it a lot easier than dealing with each individual state.
Sure.
To try to probate different assets across the person's will.
877-PLANNER, if you've got questions on any of this stuff, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here talking to you about some estate planning issues. Now, living trust, you can really control just about anything you want.
You can write
trust.
You can write those up. There are some standard languages, obviously, but you can get very complicated and very complex with trusts. You can put in all kinds of stipulations for the beneficiaries. And you can put in that if they quit smoking, they get a bigger piece of the pie. Or, whatever you want to write.
You've seen it where if as long as they don't marry such and such, or if they get a divorce.
Or as soon as they get divorced from so and so.
Or as soon as that relationship ends, here's an extra $100,000 for you.
I have actually seen that. I haven't seen it lately, but I've seen some crazy issues. But it's legal to write it. Now the problem with writing the craziness into a trust is who's going to implement it? Your successor trustee, the person that is in charge of the trust after you're gone, is the key to all of this. If they just, basically rubber stamp anything the beneficiaries want in the first place, your wishes aren't going to be followed. And now they have personal responsibility if somebody wants to, go after them. But it's all about the successor trustee. And so it's very difficult for some people to try to figure out who's going to be in charge of the assets. If you want to manage, you've got two kids, and one of them has shown that they cannot handle money. They're going to blow it. But they're also very kind of charismatic and very sweet and have the great puppy dog eyes. And you name the sibling as the successor trustee. Well, now you've put a family member in direct contention with that. They're only supposed to give them the income that's being generated from the estate, from their half of the estate every year. But then the one that shows, oh, please, please, brother, sister, you can give me a little bit more. I really need it right now. So,
we've seen that with, you name Aunt Bertha, who always loved this set of kids but didn't care so much about this.
Be careful when you're naming the trustee. That's a very tough decision for a lot of people. And that's where a lot of times it's better to, in some cases, especially the larger estates, especially the more control you want to add, name a corporate beneficiary or a corporate trustee. They don't care. They don't have any emotional attachment. They're there to manage the money based on the stipulations of the trust.
Disinterested party, absolutely.
Disinterested party.
Yes.
And that nobody's going to wrap them around their finger.
No, and that's what they're paid to do. What does it generally cost? I know there's a big range of costs for living trusts, but I mean,
state by state, and it goes by size. It goes by the type of assets.
How much control you want to put into this?
Real estate assets are more difficult to manage, to oversee than just a stock portfolio or a personal portfolio. So I'm not going to state fees, but it's just one of those things. Now, if you want a corporate, trustee, and you've only got $100,000 estate, you're probably not going to get it. It takes a lot of work for them to do, and they can't charge you enough fees on $100,000 mm-hmm. to do it. So they usually are $500,000 and up for corporate trustees.
Would you say anybody who wants some sort of control on anything beyond once they're gone should have some kind of living trust? If they don't care that it goes to probate or whatever, then there's
probate's one thing. But control is another. I mean, you can get things to a testamentary trust. Which is a trust that's created at your passing. Mm-hmm. And it goes through probate because probate's not a big deal. Now you have the control because it's in a trust and it's got somebody watching over it. But if you want that control, I think a trust, whether testamentary or inter vivos, revocable, living, makes a lot of sense. That control is a big issue for a lot of people.
It is. All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back. Very quick break here. We will be back with Gene. Actually, no, let's put Robert next. Robert had a beneficiary question, so we'll get to Robert in Portland. Gene, others stick around, and looks like we have three lines open still. So if you have a question on any of this stuff or anything else, we're here to answer those questions for you. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER. Bucket Strategy Investing continues right after this.
How do you know if there's more you can add to your investment strategy?
How do you know if there's more you can do?
How do you know?
How do you know how you can manage risk?
How do you know if insurance fits in your strategy?
How do you know what other investments are available?
How do you know?
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Where do you turn to learn about financial planning? Where can you access the information that may help you make informed decisions about investing? Lucia Capital Group has an online resource with original programming, on-demand videos, and informative articles all designed to educate you about creating a strategy for your financial future. It's WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, not just a website, an archive of financial topics that could answer some of your most fundamental questions.
How do you know? Where do you go?
Go to WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, a service of Lucia Capital Group, an online financial education center. Learn more. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr., on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
+877 PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Another hour is just ahead for most cities across the country. So if you don't get the brain trust in the next hour, you can go to our website, wealthed.com. Watch it live there. Get all your information, too, there, off the air, regarding the show and the topics and all that, at wealthed.com. We've got a bunch of videos, audio, clips. We've got blogs, posts, all that at wealthed.com. But our number on the air, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. I think I said Robert is up next. Yes, in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Robert.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Mine is in the form of a comment or a clarification on the establishing beneficiaries for real estate.
Oh, good.
Oregon also has something called a transfer on death deed.
Oh, good. So that's three that I know of now.
Right. So it's allowable. And what I did was I really didn't want to go through the trouble of a living trust. My children are both very responsible, both of them, and all of my assets, including real estate and all of my financial assets, I've established beneficiaries. So everything passes to them without going through probate.
Right. I meant that if you can get a transfer on death, you don't really need a trust, at least not for transferring assets after death, but for many states. And at the time before your call, I only knew of two that allowed it. Now, thankfully, three of them allow it. And I said others will. I just don't know which ones do. You can get away from the living trust by doing a transfer on death, payable on death, beneficiary assignments, things of that nature.
Right.
And so that's one way to do it. It doesn't offer any control or management for you while you're alive if you ever needed it. But if you don't need it, you know, if you have proper financial powers of attorney and things set in place, you could probably get away doing it just the way you're doing it.
Exactly. And it works. It works very well. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to pay the $3,000 or $4,000 or whatever. A lot of attorneys, I think,
that seems
you
know, a little high.
You need a living trust, and I like to keep it simple. It's simple, straightforward. Everything passes, and no problem.
Right. That seemed a little high, but I'm sure there are attorneys that charge that and more for living trusts. But, yeah, if, as long as you've got everything, like I said, the only thing you haven't covered, and maybe you've done that through financial powers of attorney, other documentation, is what happens if you needed help during your lifetime.
I have that covered, too.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure you got that covered, too.
Okay, great.
And it makes your estate plan becomes much easier when you have beneficiaries that you have great confidence in handling the money. Where it really becomes complicated is
when
you
they
have,
don't have any.
And unfortunately, we see that where somebody has a beneficiary, either because it's a special needs individual or it's a somebody who just has shown they just cannot handle money. That's where things get complicated.
I mean, there are people, you know, we've had calls from people who say, you know, this kid is, you know, constantly in trouble on drugs or whatever it is, and I know that if I hand them over $100,000 or whatever it is, we know where that money's going to go.
Right, right up their nose, wherever it goes. It's just, yeah, you know, we've seen people also, I love my son, daughter, whatever, but their spouse is just a piece of work.
Right.
And if they were to inherit any money, the money would just be gone. They'd blow it at, you know, Saks or, you know, Nordstrom's or someplace.
Yeah, so to have somebody, and in Robert's case it was true, some kids who can handle it, that part of it is out of the way.
Yeah, and I understand where he's coming from because I have total faith. I have three kids, and if something happened to my wife and I have no, you know, reservations about them receiving whatever is there and them doing what's appropriate for them. And so I don't have any controls or restrictions. And so it's a hard thing to think about because we're not going to be here. That's the whole idea. We're thinking about it. But it's nice to know that we have faith in the people we're leaving the money to.
Well, yeah. And, of course, the problem comes in for many people when they have young kids, you know.
That's a bigger – I mean, a lot of times you don't know how they're going to turn out.
Well, and you don't know how they're going to turn out, but you don't even know if you're going to go tomorrow or not. So I don't care how
– That's where the life insurance comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And I don't care how responsible your kids are. There isn't a single 13-year-old out there that can handle money. There isn't. Name me one.
I don't know of any.
Name me a 13-year-old that can handle $200,000.
There may be one or two out there.
There
are. Or more.
I speak for everyone. There isn't a single person who's 13 who can handle it.
I know that I probably could have handled it better at 13 than I could have at 18.
Well, there you go. Maybe. The money would have lasted from 13 to 18. It would have been,
then it would
gone,
have been gone
by 18 and a half is probably where that would have been. 877-PLANNER, if you have any questions on any of this, 877-PLANNER. We didn't really get into, we can start at least, and we can talk a little bit more about this next hour. You had different types of trusts. There are two that I know of, revocable and irrevocable trusts. I mean, besides the obvious difference between the two, one you can change, one you can't change. What's the reason for putting something, let's say, into a revocable as an irrevocable trust?
Well, revocable... irrevocable.
Either one.
Yeah, however, tomato.
Tomato, tomato.
The living trust, the inter vivos trust, those can be changed at any time you want, but they don't move anything away from you. You still, from an estate planning standpoint, it's still your asset. It's still attributable to you for estate planning, for income taxes, and for all that. It's invisible for everything except for transfer of property, basically. It is not a liability protection in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't shield you from taxation in any way, shape, or form. It's there to manage the assets after you're gone, basically. An irrevocable trust is a separate entity from you. Once it's in place, it's not changing. It doesn't get changed. And assets that are placed in it, they have their own specific tax identity to that asset, to that trust, excuse me, that ownership. It is not your asset anymore. It is a way to move assets out of your estate during your lifetime for either creditor issues or for estate planning issues. It is a completely separate entity from you when it comes to taxes, and also in most cases, if you do it right, creditors. And so there are reasons to have an irrevocable trust, and there are reasons potentially to have a revocable trust. We were talking about life insurance earlier and using life insurance to help provide for young children because they need some support. I mean, they haven't gotten to an area where they can support themselves. That life insurance should be in your estate. Sometimes, depending upon the estate, you may want it outside the estate. But life insurance, it can go both ways. But when we're talking about purely paying for estate taxes, having an irrevocable trust that owns the life insurance makes a lot of sense. If I am worried about the estate tax that I may face when I die, whether it's because my state that I live in is $1 million limit, or it's the federal one that I'm worried about at $5.45 million for a single person. If I'm worried about my estate being larger than that, and I go out and I buy life insurance to help pay for that tax when I'm gone, if I own that life insurance, it's part of my estate.
So it raises the amount.
So it raises the amount of taxes. So sure. I'm going to end up, my heirs are going to end up paying taxes on the money that I created, hopefully, to pay for the estate taxes. Separating myself from that and putting it into an irrevocable trust, now that asset, that life insurance death benefit, is no longer going to be part of my estate for calculating the estate tax purpose. There are reasons to do things certain ways. Are they the same for everybody? No, everybody has different reasons.
We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back for another hour. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors from Lucia Capital Group. Ask your questions, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Another hour just ahead of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.